For a few moments in Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. There's a word that appears in Galatians chapter 3 a couple of times in two different forms. You can see it there. First of all, in verse 1, he says, Jesus Christ hath been, and look at that word, evidently set forth. And he uses that word evidence later on in verse 11. He says, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Evident or evidence. We know what evidence is. You use that in a court case. If you've ever been to court, there will be exhibits of evidence, and the evidence will be presented to the jury to prove that something did or didn't happen. And you think about it, it's kind of an interesting thing. Evidence and faith don't really go together all that well, because faith doesn't need evidence. Faith believes what God said. The Bible says plainly that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So faith is by itself an evidence of sorts. And that's kind of what he's saying to them right here. The contest in Galatians is simply this, and we still face this today. We face it in regard to salvation. We face it in regard to going forward with God. The question is, what is necessary, faith or works? And just talking about salvation, which is where he spends most of his time here in Galatians, folks, the Bible very plain, by grace are you saved through faith. But there's evidence for that. There's evidence that our salvation is by faith and not by works. Now, all of us here tonight, just about, I know the great majority of you, and you know, you've been in solid Bible preaching churches for a long time. And for me to stop and tell you that you're saved by faith and not by works is probably not a very profound statement to you, probably not something that's new to you. But there are two advantages to this message tonight, and I'm going to be brief, but it's got several points to it. One advantage is this: there will be a time when you're going to find yourself standing across from somebody who believes that you have to work to be saved. You're going to talk to somebody that's going to tell you that you cannot have salvation unless you do some work to obtain it. And that is exactly the subject here in Galatians chapter 3. There are denominations, we might call them, or religious groups. There are cults, and they teach that salvation comes after all that you can do, or that you must do certain works in order to have eternal life, in order to have forgiveness of sins. I just want to say it clearly one more time, and we can rejoice in this. Aren't you glad you're saved by faith and not by works? Because the Bible makes it very clear, if we had to work to be saved, nobody would be saved. If we had to work to have our sins forgiven, nobody's sins would be forgiven. There's no work that you can do, no deed, not baptism, not joining a church, not giving money, not helping the poor, not being kind to your neighbor. There's no deed that you can do that will pay for your sins, not participating in a church ordinance, not being baptized or participating in the Lord's Supper. None of those deeds pay for sins. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Now, there is a statement here in, I'm going to read the passage and I'll just bring this out as I do. There's a statement here in Galatians chapter 3 that would bring out another advantage here. And it's in verse 3. He says, are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Now, let me just pull that out here for a second and explain that to you. The devil is a great liar. He's a counterfeiter. He's a deceiver. He is subtle. The devil did not stop fighting against you when you got saved. In fact, I think he redoubled his efforts against us when we got saved. And the devil will continue to deceive and to lie and to counterfeit and to be subtle. He has counterfeits for everything. He has a counterfeit gospel, which involves works. We talked about that a little bit. He has a counterfeit church, which is not really a church at all. It's sad today. People think that they're going to church, but they're really going to a concert, a rock concert. He has counterfeit religions. He has counterfeit. He's got a counterfeit Christ called the Antichrist. And the world is going to accept him without question, and maybe very soon. Amen? Wouldn't it be great if the rapture came tonight? I'm ready to go. It seems like every day the news just gets worse and worse and worse. And anyway, not enough said about that. But we are saved by faith. We are kept by the Holy Spirit. We received the Holy Spirit by faith. We are saved by faith. We are not kept by works. We're not kept by the flesh. And you can rejoice in that because we know how weak our flesh is and how prone we are to sin. Let me ask you to stand for the reading of God's Word. I'm going to try to squeeze this in here in just a few minutes, but I want to show you the evidence for the fact that faith is what saves us. He says in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 1, "O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth? Before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you. This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? Have ye suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as are of works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is every one that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them." Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you so much for the good time of prayer, the season of prayer we had tonight. Lord, again, we praise you for your holiness, for your power, for your wisdom, for your blessings that you've given us in the Lord Jesus Christ. We come before you and we ask you that you would make our church a glorious church without spot or wrinkle, and that you would cleanse us and purify us, and we pray that you'd forgive us of our sins. We forsake those and we turn to you. We thank you for the great works you've done in our midst and the answers to prayer that we've seen in days past, and we lift up these needs tonight and pray that you'd bless each one of them. And God, we just bring them before you, trusting in your mercy and your grace and your goodness that you have shown us on behalf of the Lord Jesus Christ and for his glory. I pray you'd bless this time we spend in the Bible now. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. Paul's going to lay out a simple court case here. He's going to give some evidence. The question is, was it faith or was it works that brought these things to be? And we're going to give each a chance to prove themselves. And he asks several, in fact, he asks a whole lot of questions. And when you're asking questions, that's when you're digging for the truth and you're trying to get somebody to see what the truth is. First of all, in verse 2, he asks this question. He says, did you receive the Holy Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? And I'm going to rephrase that just to make it a little more poignant. How good do you have to be to receive the Holy Spirit? Now watch this. When you and I got saved, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 1, we received the earnest of the Spirit. I am swimming in Ephesians chapter 1. I spent about 5 hours today in Ephesians chapter 1 just loving it. I wish I had more time to study like that, and saw all sorts of things. And at the end of that chapter, there's a phenomenal statement about the church. But right before that, he points out that we have received the Holy Spirit in such a way that it is proof that God has purchased us. You understand, you're bought with a price. You're not your own, right? And the Lord owns you, and it's a good thing because he's a good owner. And in fact, he redeemed us by the blood of Christ. Our sins are forgiven, and he's given us spiritual blessings in heavenly places. He's given us redemption. He's given us an inheritance. He's given us security. All these things has he done for us. And read Ephesians chapter 1 and chapter 2 if Galatians 3 is not good enough for you. It didn't come because we finally got good enough. It came because we finally had faith. It is faith that made that possible. And if you are saved, it must be true that the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life is significant enough that you can't deny it. Now, you might misunderstand it, and let me show you some things the Holy Spirit does real quick, not from this passage, but just in general. The Holy Spirit convicts us of sin. If you are lost, if the Holy Spirit does not live in your life, you can sin and come to the point to where it doesn't even bother you anymore. My daughter, Elizabeth in Maryland, just got a job working for the county, and she's going to be working in law enforcement, not in the field, but in a dispatch office. And she called me today to tell me that. She's been waiting for 6 months for the answer. And I told her, I said, okay, I want to tell you one thing right now. You are about to see wickedness and evil on a scale you couldn't even imagine. It's astounding how wicked people can be. And if you do not stay close to God, you're going to see that evil and that wickedness, and it's going to change you. Don't let that happen. Stay close to God so he can protect you from being changed by that. I was visiting a fellow in Salt Lake City one time. I can still remember right where I was standing on a second floor balcony. I knocked on his door. He was a former policeman, made a living as a private investigator. He wasn't a very impressive fellow, lived in a small kind of beat-up place. And he told me, he said, I know there's no God. And I said, well, how can you say that? And he said, because I just saw a scene where a murder took place, and I can't believe that God would let something that bad happen. Folks, there's wickedness and there's evil that is unimaginable. But when the Holy Spirit came into your heart, he made a difference in your life. He convicts you of sin. That's why sin bothers you. You know, it bothers me when I hear sins other people commit. I hear somebody that professes to be a Christian and they're using terribly profane language. That tears me up when people are disobeying God. And when we sin, it bothers us. The Holy Spirit is real in your life. Another thing, and I can't tell you all of them, he does, is he shows you what the Bible means. Isn't it great? Once you get into the Bible and start reading, it just speaks to you and speaks to you and speaks to you. It's the truth. Where else can you go to get the truth? Not on Facebook, not on the computer, not on the internet, not on the television, not on the radio, not in the magazines or the newspaper. Who knows what you're going to find there? The world is tearing itself apart because there is no longer any truth, any reference point. And everybody's simply trying to get what they want. And I'm sorry to tell you, we are a nation divided. And we will not stand like that. The Bible says so. And I'm just telling you, it's going to get worse, not better. But the Holy Spirit living in us, he gives us comfort. Amen? We have a home in heaven. Ephesians 1 talks about the hope that God gives us and how we should allow that to grow in us through the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit is real. And when you got saved, and it may have been long enough ago that you don't remember the day, but I've seen people when they get saved, I've seen them cry. I've seen change of disposition on their face. I've heard many of them right away say things like, they'll say, oh, I need to tell somebody about this. That's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comforting you, letting you know you really are forgiven. We really honestly can stand before God one day, and folks, we are, according to Ephesians 1, holy and blameless in His sight. Can you imagine the magnitude of having that property, that where you can stand before God and He will see the righteousness in Christ and He'll be completely happy with you? In fact, you are, as Ephesians 1 says, approved in the Lord Jesus Christ. All those things the Holy Spirit does in us. Now, how good did you have to be to get the Holy Spirit? Was there a day when you suddenly, oh, I'm trying to keep the law, oh, I'm trying to be good, I'm trying not to sin, and finally you crossed some threshold and the Holy Spirit came into your life? No. Just to the opposite. One day you understood, I'm not good at all, I'm a sinner. I don't deserve God's grace or His mercy. I don't deserve anything. And by faith in Christ, that's how we receive the Holy Spirit. Now, why, Paul says, would you receive the Holy Spirit by faith, and yet now you have to have the works of the flesh to keep on? No, you receive the Holy Spirit by faith, amen? And that's a good picture of evidence of the fact that we're saved by faith and not by works. Look at verse 4. He says, have you suffered so many things in vain? Now, let me ask you this. Why were these people being persecuted? There's a little bit of a clue in verse 1, and verse 1 is a tough verse. In verse 1, he calls them fools. In verse 1, he says they have been bewitched, the idea of being charmed into something. In verse 1, he says they have been disobedient to the truth, which is a kind way of saying they've accepted a lie. And in verse 1, he says they have ignored the evidence. But he says in verse 1, if you look at that end of the verse, he says that Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you. There's a couple of things you can do with that, but the obvious one would be this. Some of these people had seen Christ crucified. He talks about the visibly seeing it. Now, there may be a spiritual application there, and I'm not going to discount that, but some of these people had seen Christ crucified. Why were they being persecuted? Well, first of all, they were being persecuted by the Jews because the Jews hated Christ, and the Jews wanted the Jews' religion. That, as Paul explains in other places, is why going in Hebrews, he mentions this, they wanted to go back to the law, because if they could just compromise, then the Jews would quit persecuting them all the time, or so they thought. But they weren't being persecuted because they were keeping the law, they were being persecuted because of faith in Christ. Why today are the ideologies that we stand for so unpopular? Why, for example, and it's become so controversial, you kind of hate to mention it, but why is it that standing up and saying that homosexuality is wrong, why is that so controversial? Because no one wants to see what the Bible has to say about things anymore. I have no trouble telling you, the Bible says that's a wicked sin. And many of the things that are happening in our nation right now, if people would turn back to what the Bible says, this would all go away. But he says to them, he says, listen, he says, the reason you're being persecuted is because of your faith in Christ. And that ought to tell you something. The devil's not persecuting that which he loves. He's persecuting that which he hates. He hates faith in Christ. A couple more, we won't be long. Look at verse 5. He says, he therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith. Now let me just break that down for you. A miracle. A miracle is when God does something that, let's just use a simple definition, that cannot be explained. Okay? Watch this. I talked to a fellow last night, and here's what he told me. He said he used to work with another man that was saved. He was lost. And he said the other man was always talking about Jesus and always talking about salvation, always inviting him out to church. And the fellow said he hated it. He didn't want to hear it. He didn't want to go. But they worked together every day. And he said the other fellow, he wanted the other fellow to place some little, you know, friendly bets with him, you know, a dollar for this, a dollar for that, who's going to win the ball game or whatever. And the other fellow wouldn't bet. And the other fellow finally said to him, he said, here's what I'm willing to do. He said, I won't take any money from you if you're right. But if you make a bet with me, and you win, I'll give you a Coke or whatever. But if I win, you got to go to church with me. The fellow lost 5 bets in a row and still hadn't gone to church. So the other fellow, he wanted to make a sixth bet with the fellow, and the man said, no. He said, you know, you've already done this to me five times. The man said, no, last time, double or nothing. Okay, we'll do it. Guess who won? The Christian, amen? In fact, the story is told that after the bet was made, he disappeared in his office and prayed, amen? Fellow went to church, sat in the back row, hated it. But he still had to come back again. He came back the second time, didn't hate it quite so much. I can't tell the whole story for the sake of time. Came back the third time and got saved. And he got saved. He got saved. He said within a couple of days, he said he used to smoke 3 packs of cigarettes a day. Unfiltered cigarettes, no less. And within less than a week, driving down the road, he reached in his truck, threw the cigarettes out the window, and never has smoked a cigarette since then. That's a miracle. Said the next day he went to work. And he hadn't told this man that had been praying for him. And about halfway through the day, the man said to him, he said, you got saved, didn't you? And he said, yeah, how'd you know? He said, because you haven't used a bad word all morning. He said, you're different. That's a miracle, amen? The fellow said he had plans to go out to the bar on Friday night. And the Christian kept praying for him. And he said, oh, I'm going to go. He went to the bar, lasted about 5 minutes and left because he said he felt so awkward he couldn't stand to be there. That's a miracle. That's the Holy Spirit. You say, well, that fellow just worked real hard. No, he didn't work at all. He just believed the Lord Jesus Christ saved him from his sins, that died on the cross, and that's why he was changed. He didn't suddenly get to the place to where he bounced across some line and now he's good enough to have all these things happen. Folks, if that's the way it was, where's the glory for God in that? That's chapter 2 of Ephesians. I'll get there later. But if Jesus changed him, that gives God the glory. And that doesn't happen because you suddenly got good enough. That happens because of faith in Christ. All right, we're almost done. I got to hustle. You received the Spirit by faith. You were persecuted because of your faith. The miracles that have happened in your life are by faith. And then just really quick, I can only look at one more, verse 6. The Bible says this in several places. Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. James chapter 2 has that very same statement. Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. In other words, was Abraham righteous? No, the Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. So you cannot make yourself righteous. You say, Pastor, I'll stop sinning today. Yeah, right. And I'll do great things from now on to make up for all those sins. You can't do that. You can't pay for your sins. You have nothing God needs or wants, but he will accept your faith in Christ. Because the one thing he will accept as a payment for sins is the blood of Christ, and the blood of Christ has already been shed. And what you have to do is trust in that and not yourself, and that's what saves you. Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Abraham got credit for something he didn't have. The best explanation, and I'm done, is in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. The Bible says, he who knew no sin, that's Jesus Christ, became sin for us so that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That substitution that took place, where Christ took our place of suffering and death and rejection, that God rejected him, and he gave us his righteousness, and we stand in front of God one day, we'll have his righteousness. You say, well, Pastor, you just got to be really good, and then you get all that. Haven't you read the Bible? Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. Titus 3. Everywhere. It doesn't surprise me today that most people think you can be good enough to get to heaven. And didn't we hear that on Tuesday again? I almost cringe when we ask the question. Brother Hickson will be talking to somebody at the door. And we've got a pretty good system now. He and I, we work together pretty well, I think. He talks at first, and I pray. And then sometimes I jump in if it slows down a little or whatever. And anyway, make a long story short, he'll always ask the question, if you were to die today, do you know where you'd spend eternity? Or you know if you'd go to heaven? And people normally, they have different answers. No, I don't know. No, you can't know. Sometimes they'll say, yeah, I think I will. Next question, based upon what? And I just start, oh, no, don't say it. Please don't say it. And here it comes. Well, I'm a pretty good person. No, wrong answer. We're not a pretty good person, amen? Christ didn't die for pretty good people. He died for sinners. Christ didn't have to go to the cross because you were pretty good. He had to go to the cross because we're not good at all. There is none that doeth good, the Bible says in Romans. No, not one. And so then we tell them the truth. Faith is what saves us. Amen? Don't be bewitched. Somebody's going to lie to you or tell you something. They're going to sound really convincing. No, look at the evidence. How did you receive the Holy Spirit? How did God work in your life? How did Abraham get saved? Why are you persecuted? For faith. Amen? Let's all stand if you would. We'll have a quick word of prayer and sing a song. And